Okay, ready. This is the next installment of Inner Alchemy. So far, the journey, I'll speak to it as well. The journey has taken us through several stages. So the first stage that we went through was calcination, which is purification by fire. Yeah, so working with the fire element. The calcination is like the first point in alchemy, which always starts with a breaking down. Because in order to alchemize, so to alchemize is this aspect of what they called solve de coagula, which is the Latin for to dissolve and reform. But the idea of it is to dissolve in order to reform into a greater refinement. So the dissolving is to release the lower densities so that you can reform into a higher product. So, you know, we alchemize, an example we're giving was like the potato. You want to turn potato into vodka. And you start with the density of the potato. The first thing they have to do is mash up the potato, yeah, before they put it into a solution and to take it through the process of distillation. So calcination is that first aspect of fire, the fire in order to break the bonds of the old form. And so this fire energy can come to us in all kinds of ways, into our physicality, into our emotions, into our minds. It can work through many different levels of our being. The second stage, that after calcination, we go into dissolution, because typically after there has been a breaking, what rises is the power of what was in those bonds, typically emotion. So usually when there has been a breaking, the next thing that rises is emotion. And it's emotion, it's a bit like when you dump the mashed potato into the water. Initially, it's all cloudy. And when you're in this big surge of emotion that arises out of the breaking down, this is not the time to look for clarity. This is the time to be able to utilize the energy of the power of the emotion to keep the energy in motion, the emotion. The emotion is stay with it and allow it to keep moving. And this is it's a bit like sometimes you have the window of tolerance, my new catchword that Willow gave me. It's like, okay, if you could imagine, you've got this window of tolerance is where you're functioning and you're able to kind of keep your navigation going. And you've got this big surge of emotion. And the aim of the game is, can you stay within the window of a tolerance? Because if you go too far, you go into overwhelm and you'll crash and burn and likely traumatize yourself more than even the original trauma, because you've gone, you haven't been able to manage it. It's taken you out and you crash and burn. The other side is when you over restrict it and it's too little. And so you don't actually get enough energy to actually make the transformation, because you're shutting it down all the time so that you don't feel it. And so there's little emotion. So ideally, when you're in that second phase, you're trying to work through the balance of and use your strategies for, you know, when to kind of bring it down, when to kind of bring it up to get yourself through that passage. A bit like the transit of the dark night of the soul is how it feels. At the other end, the next stage, which we looked at last time, is when it moves then into separation. So it's a bit like, again, you've got this cloudy mixture of potato in the water. If you let it sit, eventually it'll settle out. And the really dense bits go to the bottom, the middle bits to the middle, and the finer bits go to the top. And so there's this kind of settling out period. And you can probably relate to this, that, you know, when you've had a huge emotional turbulence, the point where you can actually act with it or work with it is actually when it's just passed. Once you're actually no longer in the big turbulence of it, you get to the point on the other side where you're close enough to it where you can still see it, but you're not in the distortion of the emotional turbulence, yeah? And that's the bit where you make the changes, because that's the bit where you do the assessments. So you bring in, this is then working, the second stage was purification by water. The third stage is purification by air. So the air brings the mental clarity where you can start to go, okay, what worked for me, what didn't? Out of what I saw in those densities, which of those need to go? So this is a time of assessment, clarifying. And out of this, then you make choices on going, okay, if what I did last time, or I could see that this was my trigger, or, you know, this was what worked for me, this was what didn't. Out of this, we can make a choice in order to create change. And it's not like you're changing everything, but you at least bring a aspect of change, because, of course, if you change nothing, next time you're going to get the same result. You know, the analogies of the gardener, of if you want to grow something different, you have to plant a different seed, yeah? Or the computer analogy, you can't just keep pressing enter and hope something different will happen. No, so you have to make a change. Even just one change can be enough to change the frequency, or to change the events of what could happen next time. So last time we were looking at planning for change, looking at what was the thing that we wanted to work with most, and to make a plan for how we were going to bring change to that. So because if you can even plan for the change, you're more likely to be able to enact the change when the event happens again next time, because you have already gone through the thinking process of it, and you're able to use this aspect of thought creates. Okay, so this now brings us to number four. This is now earth. So we've done fire, water, air, and now we're at earth. Earth, this stage of alchemical process is a seven-step stage. Earth, number four, sits in the middle. And it's a bit like that first one, two, three, you know, has turbulence and change and, you know, reform and all that kind of stuff. We get to the middle of four and it actually feels like a bit of a, okay, oh, hallelujah. Okay, here I am. Because this point of the earth is actually the reformation. So after those changes and turbulence, this is where it actually settles, and now you've got your next compound that you're ready to work with. Yeah. So it feels a bit like, you know, the rebirth point, where you've got through all of that and you've got your processes of change. And what you've now got to do in order to keep those changes is you've got to embody it. You've got to bring it into your body, into your life, into your everyday actions. You've got to live it. You've got to breathe it. Because what does this do? It brings it into your foundations. It makes it real. You bring living action to it. You take it from just being a thought of this is what I'm going to do into being an action of now I'm doing it. And by doing it all the time, I actually make the change. Yeah. So this is about recombining yourself into this new structure in order to stabilize the choice of change that you made. And it's definitely about grounding and embodying what choices you've made from that last process. What this does is, of course, it creates, by changing something, you end up, you change the foundation. So the tower that you're building, that is you, you have put a different brick in there. And this brick allows a different vibrational or a different frequency tone or resonance. But all you're talking about is that you, as a law of attraction, you've added a new element, which means you have the capacity now to attract something new that was not attractable before. So new synchronicity. So new synchronicity can mean new people that will come into your life, new events that actually start to occur for you. New opportunities start to open up. New doorways beckon to you, okay? This is often the feeling of this stage. Because you're now embodying a new frequency, new things start to happen. So this is the aspect of conjunction. It's actually, you know, it's of the alchemical processes, you know, from one to four, four actually feels really good. You know, it feels stable, it feels potent, it's, I'm ready, you know, it's, I'm going forward, and this can be the energy of it. As with all of the stages that we've looked at, we looked at, okay, what it can be, and then what can stop it from working so well. Okay, so this is the limitations. You know, the first limitation is being unable to stabilize the change. Okay, why? The most common reason for not being able to embody the change that you've chosen is because you've bitten off too much. You've been very optimistic and said, I can change it all in one go. And of course, you know, when we have this big change, we can't sustain it. We don't have a foundation to sit it upon. It's very wobbly and it's very hard to hold. It can take us into overwhelm very quickly. It can take us into, oh my God, this is too much, I give up, it's not working. You know, it can take us into that failure syndrome very quickly because we have taken a too big a step, and it's like when you take really big steps, it's very unstable, yeah? Whereas if you're just constant small steps are much easier to sustain. So when you're having trouble stabilizing your choice or your change, see if you can break it down. So this is the simplification process. In that big complexity that you wanted to change, can you reduce it down into going, what is the first, smallest, most achievable step I could make in order to get this change? And so set yourself up for success. Make the first step something that is easy and that you're pretty confident you're going to be able to do it. Yeah? Because the more you can build belief in your capacity to change, that will give you the momentum to take on bigger steps as you go. Yeah? So set yourself up for success is the answer to this inability to stabilize. Another aspect of this inability to stabilize is actually as simple as grounding. Sometimes we, in our lives, again, we're so busy, we don't get the ability to, you know, put our feet on the earth, connect with nature, feel grounded, feel with the earth. This is another thing that can facilitate stability, yeah, is to really ground yourself regularly, centering yourself regularly, coming into that inner core, meditating, being with yourself, instead of being so busy with the outer life that there's no time to nourish the inner life. The more you can nourish the inner life, be with what it is that you're wanting to do, to be calling over the changes that you're wanting to bring, holding this clear purpose and vision about what you're wanting to be, all of this helps you to stabilize. Yeah. So summarize the stability problem. Check that you haven't taken too big a bite and see if you can bring it down smaller. Check that you're doing practices that keep you embodied and grounded, because that will help you. The next part that is a limitation and can work against you is the comfortability phase. Mm-hmm. This is when, oh, I feel so much better. You know, all those changes that feel honky-dory now. Oh, I can relax. Hallelujah. It's, you know, I did it. You know, that kind of thing. There's no such thing as stopping and staying where you were. The principle of grow and die. If you are not growing, you are reducing. Yeah. There is a consistency of pressure that is needed even just to stay where you are. That's why the problem of comfortability, one is stagnation, because no longer is the energy moving because you've stopped. And two is the backsliding. You start to actually lose the ground that you made. And very often in the alchemical process, four, if you don't continue to keep the gentle pressure of change going, you'll soon tip back to one again and you'll have to do it all over again. And I can say this to myself, I was sharing with Jenna this morning going, oh, this is me. I had such good intentions earlier this year. I'm walking every day, I'm keep up my exercise program. And then I was feeling really good in my body. And I'm going, oh, I feel really good now. Yeah, so and then other things happened and distracted, and then I stopped walking, and then I got out of a habit, and then at the moment it's like, oh, I'm not feeling so good in my body now. And it's like, yeah, that's because basically, yep, those good intentions I've changed, the pattern didn't stick, and now I've got to start the pattern again. So, you know, this is really an example of that. Another thing to so with comfortability. The esoteric school I first studied with, a school called Eman, the teacher there said, you know, the biggest danger to your growth and evolution is comfortability. Because as soon as you're comfortable, you stop trying, you stop actioning, you stop pushing, and you take your eye off the ball. He had this saying that used to be up there, don't relax from it ever. And he would tell the story, which actually interesting, I've heard the story in many times, even in relation to Atlantis, that they got to a very high pinnacle of evolution in that time, in the golden age of Atlantis. But at that top pinnacle, they relaxed their vigilance for what was happening. And this allowed a dropping, which allowed other energies to get in, which in the end collapsed the whole thing. And this is the problem. When you take that gentle pressure off the energy of growth, they said you need to be like the plant, you know, the fresh green shoot. It's got a constant message going, grow, grow, grow. And every day it's generating new cells at the tip in order to continue to take itself forward until eventually, you know, it becomes the big tree. He said, be like the little green shoot. Continue every day. Just doesn't have to be a whipping or a hard thing, but it's just that gentle insistence that takes you forward of just keep going, don't stop from it ever. Keep going, and that's kind of the feeling of it. Yeah? All right, understanding intention and realization. Again, this is an esoteric teaching, but a very useful one. Whenever you create an intention, so this is when you're obviously you are bringing something, you know, intentions, as we know, are very potent things. You know, it's basically, it's a launch of our will and desire that goes forth into creation. What happens when we deliver an intention? And it's a word that has ion in it. So it talks about, it's a word that relates to energy. When you deliver an intention, what happens is energy comes back to you in order for you to manifest the intention or to realize the intention. If you intend something, the natural reply of the universe is to give you the energy to see it, to make it happen. If you do not make the action, another ion word, to act with the ions, then what happens is, again, stagnation, because the energy sits there, but it's not utilized, and eventually it becomes toxic and you get stagnant with your ability to flow, so that when you deliver your next intention, there's not as much room in there to bring the energy for the intention in. You fill up, but you fill up with stagnant energy because it's not being actioned, it's not being utilized, it's not being realized into some sort of reality. The teaching of it is that, you know, it's not that you have to completely fulfill the intention, but you must always make an act towards it. Because as you act on it, you then start the using up of the available energy for that intention, and you make space so that the next one can come in. And this keeps you fresh like a flowing stream. Yeah. If you don't, you become a stagnant pool. And one of the symptoms of that is that you'll find that your ability to manifest becomes lesser and lesser and lesser, because the energy that drives your ability to manifest is this ability to stay in the flow, to keep this energy moving. That's the key to your manifestation. And so the wisdom in that was like, don't intend something that is too big to realize. Keep your intentions achievable, doable, actable. And at least make an act upon it. Even if you don't complete it, it's fine, but at least you start to utilize the energy that was given to you. So just to be aware of that in limitations. All right, the actions of conjunction, this phase. So to work with it in the best way, one is, it's to make the consistent small efforts in the direction of your purpose. So it's, you know, a bit like Gandalf, saying, you know, many small steps is how the big quest is won. And every teaching really from any esoteric school will say the same thing. If the steps are too big, you can't hold them, you'll backslide. Better that you make small, groundable, achievable steps and then make the next one. It can feel frustrating because you don't feel that you're moving very quickly in achieving all that you want to do. But pretty soon when you look back, you'll be surprised and going, oh my goodness, look how far I've come. Yeah. But it's staying consistent, keeping that energy going for making, the regular, the consistent, the everyday action is the thing that will actually take you in the direction that you want to go. utilize the momentum of change. So when you've actually got the change happen, then there is a momentum that comes with that, that if you can stay with it, you can actually ride that momentum to actually keep give you the power to keep on going. And once you've got to a certain point, typically a moon cycle, you'll actually find that you'll have embodied enough of the change that you no longer have to make the action for it, because it's almost, it becomes self-perpetuating. There becomes a point when it actually is you, and then you just, you act out of that anyway, because you've actually put it, you know, at that point, it's gone into your foundation, because you actually act out of it every day anyway. Yeah. Being able to, this consistent action doesn't always mean it's exactly the same action every time. What is the same is the desire or the purpose that you're aiming at. What you're needing to do is maintain a level of self-awareness, so this ability to see the self, so that as you go, you can continually adjust and balance and assess and refine, because as you're going, okay, I'm wanting that, the action that I did yesterday, okay, I actually need a slightly different action today because I need to, you know, bring myself back this way. So it's this constant reviewing. So the actual actions you're making may continue to change, but what is the same is what you're trying to achieve. And sometimes you're needing to trim and balance in order to get yourself to the point that you want to go. So it's not always that it's just a matter of blind repetition. Blind repetition ends up becoming habit, and you become less and less conscious about why you're doing it. The more you can stay with the consciousness of what you're doing, why you're doing it, is this working, what, assessing how I'm going, the more you can stay conscious of the process, the better the result. Community support. It's really hard to do the energy of change on your own. It is way more, It's a better journey, it's a quicker journey, it's a stronger journey to do it with others, to be in community, you know, a bit like what you're saying, Sam, that the benefit of hearing someone else's story can give you the strength or the perception to actually act in another way than you might have otherwise. You know, this is the benefit of the sharing circles, of being working together. We have always, the strength is in the unity. You know, the old story of, you know, the one stick is easier to break. But as you keep collecting sticks together, suddenly it has a strength that you can no longer snap it. Yeah, and that's how we are when we're together, where the strength is in the unity. So call on support, not only support, but also the encouragement. You know, just, you know, someone going, oh, well done, you did that. You know, you're amazing how well you actually, and they can give you this reflection, this mirroring. And you, sometimes we can't see ourselves when we're in it. And this benefit of having the mirror of the other can help us to see ourselves in a way that we wouldn't have otherwise. This aspect of the action really is an equation, which is the combination of purpose and will. If you have a clear vision, focus of what is your desire, what do you want to change, the better you can see that purpose, the clearer is that your desire for that purpose is. This will help with the energy of the will, because it is the will that keeps you consistent, that keeps you going, that allows it to manifest. It is this power of the will. And the will is usually stronger when the purpose is stronger. So when you are clear and strong on your purpose, it's much easier to have a strong will. If either of these are lacking, then yeah, it's a time to then go back in and going, okay, what do I want? You know, why do I want it? Where am I going? It's time to go back into that point so that you can build up again the strength and vision of the purpose and the feeling. It's not just a mental thing, but it's definitely an emotion thing as well. Bringing these both together with the will force is what will create the resultant pathway. Basically, it creates the timeline. A bit like I was saying in the last circle, we're talking about in order to create a timeline, you need energy. Thinking it is not enough. You need power. You can either get power from emotion by having a strong emotion about why you want this. You know, this is why people, you know, stories of you know, couldn't give up cigarettes, then told that they were going to die if they don't give up, and that's it, gave up that day. Because the emotion was high, because it was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to die if I don't do this. And so it becomes a really strong purpose. This is about me living. I want it. And what was impossible a day ago now becomes possible. Yeah. This is the power of emotion, and particularly emotion that's tied to the purpose of our life. This is the highest emotion we can generate usually. The more you can bring it about your spirit, my purpose of life, these are all very high octane energies and are very good for generating change. If you don't have that, the substitute is use group. Get others to help you with your vision, your purpose, to, again, using the group energy to help you bring more energy into what it is that you're wanting to do. So here's where you can share with others, getting their encouragement, getting their inspiration, getting their reflection, getting their simply, how are you going with that today? Are you doing well? Wow, you're looking really good. You know, that, you know, this kind of thing. What does it do? It brings energy into your realizations. So emotion or group are often the best ways of generating energy to create a timeline. The other thing to keep a note on is the action and reward cycle. And it fits very well with our topics today about self-care and things like that. It's like, it comes back to, part of it actually is kindness. Sometimes we can get so fixated on change and what we need to do and what we feel we have to do that we can almost become like, you know, whipping ourselves and not allowing ourselves a day off because it's like, oh no, but I have to keep going or I'm not going to achieve it. It's again, always there's balance, because even the day off can be reasoned from the point of view, but this is the nurturing part of me that balances me, that allows me to actually achieve that. So it's not about beating yourself up about, you know, I got to keep with it forever. Don't relax from it ever. It's not to take an idea that is a hard thing to be my own kind of dictator, but to keep this idea of balancing what you're doing, that also the nurturing and the caring for self and all of this is as much a part of you achieving your goals as the harder focus on this is my action. So again, sometimes even the achievement of the small goals, so if you're setting the small intention, when you've achieved that intention, again, it could be the inbuilt reward of going, wow, I did that, and that can feel good, and that can feel like a reward. But sometimes you can even do more tangible things, going, if I achieve this, well, yeah, I'm going to Dunsborough for a week, because I deserve it, yeah? You know, or whatever it might be. Yeah.
11 years later.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, that's right. We got there eventually. But ideally, we can move these rewards in a little sooner. And it could be that I'm giving myself a bath with hot water to the top. Yes. You know?
Yes. With candles.
With candles and oils. Yes. So this thing of, again, it's as the, again, my teacher used to say, it's not what you do. It's the reason why you do it. And if you can do these things that you're doing anyway or that you want to add into your life, if you can add the intention to them that I'm doing this because I'm worth it, because I have deserved it, you know, I've achieved it or whatever, then the cooperation of your whole being, because you are many consciousnesses within, you're not a one thing, you're definitely more like a we team thing, more of you is willing to play the game with you if you treat it like a team, if you are kind to it and you nurture it and you reward it and you set it achievable goals, just like as if you're working with a team, yeah? You've got to take that kind of approach to yourself and setting your achievable goals, rewarding yourself when you've got there, you know, reassessing at that moment after the reward and going, okay, all right, let's go again. You know, do we need to extend the goal? Do we need to refine the goal? Do we need to repeat the goal? Do we need a different action? You know, okay, this is my next step. Here I go again. So we manage ourselves, and this is, becomes really what they call self-management, this ability to keep going with the change and make it embodied and sustainable. So it becomes part of you and something that eventually becomes your foundation. So it becomes inbuilt into your being and part of your permanent vibration. And then you're ready to take the next step because you've now got that, yeah? And then you can take the next to grow further. But this kind of approach is very much about this aspect of conjunction. It's the ability to embody the change and sustain the change going forward so that you don't slip back to one again and have to go through all of that again. Because if you can sustain the change at this point, in the midpoint of the foundation of alchemy, then the next three phases that come after, the 5, 6, and 7 stages, they can only happen if 4 has been consolidated. If you can't consolidate 4, you have to go back to 1. So 4 is the change point. It's the point of where either you go forward or you don't. It is very much. And the defining aspect that they say of number 4 is the will. And the definition of will being dedicated intention, the ability to do what needs to be done, whether you feel like doing it or not. This is the will.
There has to be the realization that you fall off the wagon every so often.
Oh, for sure.
And so the will is something, the most important step is to come back to it.
Sure. Yeah, totally. And this is, again, the perfection. Yeah. The perfection is actually the imperfection. And the perfection is that, yeah, you might take 2 steps forward and 1 step back, but that's okay. And even in that, that helps you with the adjustment and refinement. Because when you then assess again, you're going, okay, this worked, but this one didn't go so well. What can, do I try it again? Do I do something different? And this is where we're constantly adjusting, rebalancing, and changing. And again, kindness, self-kindness is so important within this whole thing. Kindness, nurturing, forgiveness, this is kind of this action and reward part of it, is that we don't want to be tyrannical, because that's not the energy of it. We want to be nurturing and caring, allowing and forgiving, encouraging, accepting. These are, as much as we see that these qualities are what grows the people around us, of course they're the things that grow us. Yeah?
Life's a dance, not a march.
That's just it, I love that. All right. So any other reflections that you want to bring into that, you're very welcome to. Let's check my time. Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
It can also be helpful even just to buddy up. Even, if it's not a group thing, yeah. Even just to buddy up with one other person. I mean, to carry out things, like fitness, or to be accountable to someone else, or to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what I'm committing to this week. Yeah.